So yes, you might have your own symbols for that. You might have your own ways of knowing when you're on the path to the next symbol or the next clue that you're leaving yourself. But all these breadcrumbs are part of a trail that you set out for yourself as you come back into, you know, full knowing of your absolute ascended power.
Yes, I think, for example, for me, one of those things are these double rainbows, because when I decided to end my relationship with my boyfriend because he will not understand Ayan, and I was listening to Ayan all day, all night, and I want to do it, so I don't care. And the next day, we had a big fight in the night, and the next day there was a double rainbow, and that was the first time I saw it. And then on the 11th of April, which my session with Ayan was also 11th of April, 2011. And the last 11, I think it was 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago, I saw this double rainbow again. And I think that for me, that's the sign. You say you're getting warmer. And also I am talking about the rings of fire. So he's telling us we are warm, I think.
Well, those symbols keep reoccurring for you and they're speaking to you in some way, then those are probably your clues, or they're like your signposts. So that was with me with the symbols.
It
was
like
that. I kept seeing the same symbols. What?
Jed, you'll notice that Roxy has a very fast mind with symbols. You said this thing about warmer, and she had adapted it to that rainbow immediately. And she's very, I mean, that's part of her artistic training or philosophy training, but she's very quick at getting the symbolic level of whatever's being talked about, which she just did.
Right, to the analogous.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So just taking that back again to, like, the symbols back in early 2010, that's how the symbols came for me. It was the same way that your rainbows and Ring of Fire were showing up. I just couldn't get away from them. And the way that Ion explained it was, so if I kept seeing this one symbol, and let's say it was like in the shape of a heart or something, that would be the equivalent of going to the subway station and seeing, like, you know, the number 7 train, seeing the sign that this is the number 7 train that goes to New Westminster or something like that. And I would keep seeing that sign again and again, so I could hop on that train anytime I wanted to go to that other dimension.
Yeah, for me, it's also the number 11.
Yeah, that's a popular one for a lot of people, number 11.
Yes.
Bob, where did that come from? Why are there so many people that are into the number 11 or 11-11?
I don't know. I don't know why that's common. It might be because of the Kabbalah, or it's a cultural thing, 11, 22, 33. I don't have any.
No, but I see, like, for me, it has to do with these double things. This
double,
like,
yes.
The thing with the...
Well, let me tell you this. Hey, Roxy, the Evergreens told me that the reason you see 22 in the news a lot is that editors like the symmetry of it. So they're getting bombarded by information they got to decide whether to put in their media or the newspapers. So they like the 2 bouncing off the 2. So, yeah, you're right. It's the doubleness or the symmetry of it is maybe the
appeal. High-end Baptist.
Hendiades, yeah, Hendiades.
Hendiades. But also, I think it has to do with the parallel worlds that somehow reflect.
Right. Yeah, it's a parallel world. A similar world. It's a crumb to remind you there's 2 of everything. So that would be the spiritual power of it. See, 2 numbers, the same, that's reminding you there's 2 of everything.
Yes.
Which is probably the first spiritual rule, spiritual pattern that Ayan taught.
it's quite fun because I also like a lot that Ayo never make it like mysterious or esoteric. He also makes fun of you, like you're trying to be mysterious and this and that. Like just like he says it's normal. It's part of your reality. It's part of your normality. It's nothing weird or magical. So I like that, that it's part of you, and it doesn't have to be like a cult or something mysterious.
Oh, and there's a sort of like euphoria or something that comes from taking things that were previously given all this like magical baggage and spiritual baggage and bringing them down into the practical reality. So like your rainbows, they're no longer like some magical symbol. They're like a road sign, you know, on the side of the Autobahn telling you, you know, this way to Stuttgart or something. It's just a sign, you know?
Yes, and it's like, it's nice to live like that. Like it's part of your normal, everyday world.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that Ion explains everything very clearly.
Yeah.
Or Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say Bob
it's
too.
Like you don't have this. I used to be scared of things that I didn't understand when some anomaly happened. Like there is a shock. Something in you is shock. The mind is shock. Like you're trying to understand. But now it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, and a lot of people I've heard over the years that have called into Bob shows, they'll say something like some anomaly that they've had, and then their reaction to it is just like, whoa. And they can't really articulate what it is about it that makes it significant. And Bob forces people to define that and develop their language and the ability where they can describe it without getting hypnotized by the synchronicity of it or overwhelmed by the awe, the shock and awe factor. So being able to workshop it so you can actually articulate these things is a way of taking back the power. Because you're no longer the one being put in awe. You're actually able to put names on these things and summon them.
Yes, and it's just like no big deal. It's just like whatever.
Yeah, it's the operating system for your reality.
Yes, like I live in this street called Street of Two Cities, so I ask Ion, who knows about that? That this is like a parallel world, and he says that as if he's talking about the weather is nothing special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody.
I like the fact that Bob, Ion, Carolyn took the fear out of whatever reality we live in. You know, it's not to be afraid of it. You know, look at it. You know, understand that it's not going to hurt you, and to go ahead and explore it, and mm-hmm. to get a lot of concepts out of your head, and you know, look at it with new eyes. And that was probably the funnest part of the, you know, like almost 2-year transformation. It's just watching and the world around me is all these little issues I got hung up on got taken away, and
yes,
a lot of these fear things. Go ahead, Roxy.
Ion was making fun of me on the chat line. He said, I'm a prepubescent adolescent.
Prepubescent.
Yeah. Obsequiously, like.
Obsequiously.
Yeah. And, that's making fun of you is a way of putting you back in your place, like.
What makes you excited, like being a kid, you know, that all this around you is extraordinarily fun to explore, to look at, you know, think and on ponder, and it's just like being a child again, you know, instead of being, we've been trained a certain way in our adult heads and all this crap, and once it gets...
No, but I get dumb, really, really amazed, and I think, how can Bob take it? Like, he's talking with Ion every day, and it's part of his normal life, and all these intense things, you know, it's really like not everybody could do that and get all this information, all these technologies, and see them and be so carefree about everything.
Bob's in a different space than we are.
No, that's what we wouldn't say that. I may be the most amazing communication, public communication to ever happen in the history of humanity, and IAM does a good job of just hanging out while being, and it's so, like, invisible. Like, people, they get fooled by IAM's casualness. They don't recognize the amazingness of what's going on.
Yes, it's a real burning bush.
Yeah, it's a real burning bush.
So sometimes I'm so impressed.
Yeah, every now and then when we're making our videos, I have to stop every now and then as Roxana collapses into her futon and starts weeping with gratitude at the whole fucking environment. We have to wait for her to recover, and then she regains her composure and fixes her hair and puts the camera back up on, and we go back to work.
I think we all feel like that, though, Bob. And the longer you sit around here, the more grateful you are that you're here.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he makes some joke, and then...
Then he says, you aren't made of anything.
He says, like, he's like, oh, you're boring me.
Yeah, like, I think there's... in the Bible, that says Moses had a wife among the Midianites, and he gives the name. They give the name, and at some point, Ion gave that name to Roxana. So Roxana asked, "Am I married to Moses or whatever?" And Ion says, "You're moving towards that, a becomingness." Now I should play you guys. This becomingness is really important. So I did another session with Ian where today we asked about Egypt. So if Roxana may not exist until she connects whoever this Moses guy is or is, whatever it is, she's moving towards landing. So let me bring up, did you guys hear what I played many hours ago?
Which one?
Which one?
I played my session yesterday with Ion.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you all heard it? There's important stuff said there. I feel like playing it again, but maybe you will do that
after. Yeah, you can play it again, too.
Right. So the... I got to find out where I do this. The coordinates... let me just get this... Right, there it is. Start at 10:20. Okay. Now, this is a good question. So I'll bring it up to 10:20. Right there. So I will mute everybody. And this will be about, I think it's about 6 minutes long. Yeah, 6 minutes. And I think it's new, a new way of looking at history. Okay, unmute.
All participants are now muted.
Okay, so Ion, you have the categories in archaeology or the history of humanity, they have the Iron Age and then the Bronze Age. Maybe it's the Bronze Age, then the Iron Age. And they have the Bronze Age around, say, 1000 B.C. Homer comes in at the beginning of the Iron Age, and that's the writing. Are those categories accurate and timing-wise?
No, Christian Thompson doesn't even agree.
You mean William Irwin Thompson?
No, Christian Jurgensen Thompson.
Right. So the categories, the Bronze Age and the Iron Age, is there any aspect of them that is useful? Or
the Stone Age. You're leaving off the Stone Bronze Age.
Stone Bronze Age. And that would be stone like the temples, Solomon's Temple stone?
No, the Stone Age. You have the different periods, three age periods, stone, bronze, and iron.
Okay, so in the Stone Age, is that very advanced jewelry, advanced computers, and those kind of things that we don't associate with that era? Do they exist?
Not yet. They will. Not yet. You haven't done the periodization yet. All this that you're finding is becoming. It's not here because it's not there. It's not there yet because it's not here. Periodization is what you're actually asking, and it hasn't occurred yet. You can't do the second part of a three-stage system that hasn't applied yet. You're developing it. Then you'll put it all back there so you'll find it then. And the third phase can't be a material cultural event from a media ecology aspect. The media ecology doesn't apply. How do you apply the medium as a message when there's no meme?
Well, you don't mean that material.
We'd say yet.
What about yet? Hasn't happened yet, or
the meme? There's no meme yet. There will be.
Right, but
not
the
yet.
In media ecology, the material of communication forms the meme.
Hasn't happened yet. That's the invention.
Well, they have material of communication there.
Good, but it's not been applied yet. You have to do that in your future.
No, they got clay tablets, stone tablets, at least that's
not
the
yet.
Record.
That's what you're up to. That's what we're saying. It'll come different. It'll become more developed. Then you'll have Bronze Age tools that you use to gauge by.
Well, what do they have now if they don't have the
copper.
Complete?
Copper.
They have copper stuff. What's bronze made of?
No, copper age.
Is bronze copper?
No, it is not.
What is the material in the Bronze Age?
Material, tools?
Well, you're saying copper. Therefore, it's not copper in the Bronze Age.
No, we didn't say copper.
It?
We said copper age.
Yeah, there's the copper age. That's some kind of material made out of copper. Is the Bronze Age made out of...
No, it is not. It is not. No. Why are you saying copper then? Because it's the copper age, yeah.
What does the word copper refer to in those two words?
The age. It's a time period between the Neolithic and the Bronze Age.
Okay, what technologies are happening there incompletely in the copper age?
The ancient Greece, the lithos, or beyond the bronze. You added tin to the copper to make bronze. This was the time before they did that.
Hmm. Did they, in the pictures you said, say, your children have books, picture books for kids, and they show the Bronze Age, the Copper Age. Is that accurate, what they draw today?
No, not yet, but it'll change. See, that's the thing. It'll change. You'll blend those ages. The Copper Age will be part of the Bronze Age rather than the Stone Age. It'll be shifted. Don't worry. It's becoming. You've just now come into a metallurgy position to even acknowledge that there's a difference or a variance between the Neolithic and the response of the Copper Age within your whole, it's more like chaos-olithic. It'd be more a way to do it because
chaos.
It's not understood yet. Chaos-olithic.
Right. So what kind of computers did, it was called the cloud, I guess, back in Moses wandering in the desert. What kind of computers?
The one you're inventing.
All right.
You're going to invent it then for now. Because of that. And then you're going to find it that they had it all the time. Just like your water is going to be that always was. Just like your bread of life that always was. Just like all those other applications that you're going to do in the future for the back then. But if you don't do it in the future, then there won't be a back then. That's why you're looking for a city where you'll never die.
Now, in the Revelation, New York City was Babylon.
It still is.
Right, and it had skyscrapers. The New York City with the skyscrapers.
It does. That does. And does. Then don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget the new York version of Doctor Who. Remember?
Hmm.
13 News in New York. What's that one, Bob? 13 new 13 times York Doctor Who. That one, Bob.
13 episode of first season or?
No,
20th season.
The one that's 13 news in front of it, and then York, New York.
Oh, okay. 13
Doctor
news,
Who.
York. Oh, 13 words.
Yeah. New. 13 times, New York. That one.
So New York City, as it is, well, always was. Always is.
Well, if it becomes.
If it becomes. If it doesn't, then it didn't happen back in Moses' time.
And it'll fall away, just like your history keeps changing.
Okay, that was really good. Now let me get, open it up here.
All participants are now unmuted.
Nothing, like Roxana, doesn't exist yet because we're still becoming. And becoming changes what things were. You get that? That's an important point. I don't think that's been stressed by Ion before.
Becoming changes what things were. Is that what you said?
And what they will be.
Right. Yeah, what I got from it was that people won't let things become unless they go back into their past and plant something there. To make
valid
or something?
Well, their present will be changed, and it will change their past.
I heard it as if something had to be, people had to plant shit in their past so that they would allow their present to become.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. That's a part of that process. The interesting thing, so he said, I hadn't read up on this stuff. I just thought, okay, there's a bunch of ages. Let's go into it. And he mentions this person, Christian Thompson, and then it becomes Christian Jurgensen Thompson. So I looked him up after this session a few hours ago, and he's the guy who started the division. He's a 19th century archaeologist. He created the division, Stone Age, Bronze Age, and Iron Age. He started it. And then they, as you can look it up in Wikipedia, it's Thompson, T-O-M-S-E-N, I think. Maybe it's T-H-O-M. And just put Christian Thompson, it'll come up. And, they had stuff about the Copper Age, and it was a category. So Ian was exactly correct in the way he was describing the terms. I just didn't understand enough about it to even know the name. I thought he said William R. Thompson, so. It was a good example of Ion naming the guy who created the categories that I was playing with.
He said today something. We are all becoming. Everything is becoming now. Like there is more carbon and the brain.
Right.
How these things are inverted and the music listened to you and everything is becoming something else. And
that's tactile. That's tactility. That is two-wayness. You listen to music, and music listens to you. When you were in the literate phase, you passively received the music. Everything was one way. The two-way Hendiades is another way to understand tactility. So everything becomes tactility. We create worlds, and worlds create us.
And until now, for example, we call the part that we're not using of the DNA junk, DNA, and our brains only used to 10%. So it's like we are becoming complete. Like we are going to activate the chromosome 14 and
yeah, it's interesting.
Use
he said
our brain.
Chromosome 14 is everywhere. He said somewhere today, chromosome 14 is everywhere. Not limited to your cellular, but maybe the cells are everywhere. And you'll find that this is the way Finnegan's Wake's written. Any point you touch in the book resonates with every other part of the book. So Joyce figured out how to make the static, dead medium of books come alive with the reality before and after literacy.
Yes, but that's
your cells aren't limited. Your cells aren't limited to your meat sack body.
Right.
According to Ion, right?
Right. So
that's,
you
that's
go
an
on
old
the Wikipedia
image of what?
Right. When you go on the Wikipedia and look up chromosome 14, you see it's in a chromosome, and they show you the design of a chromosome, and they show you where the 14th one is, and they have some words describing what it does. That is a beginning mistake. The chromosome is not in, the chromosome 14 is not limited to the little cross that they make the chromosome look like.
Well, you're just looking that up.
You know. Yeah, and so, and that's what McLuhan was pointing out. Your senses create environments and spaces that hypnotize you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just need to know the dynamic that goes on. And then once you start recognizing your word power and your creative power, then you answer back to the environment, and you alter it.
Yes, and it's, for example, the example of the ring of fire, how is the chromosome 14 activated?
Right.
And then we see the galaxies and the sinkholes, everything, all these sinkholes, like...
Oh, that was amazing, Roxana. One of what's-her-name's paintings has sinkholes in it.
Remedios Varo.
Yeah, one of the paintings you show has sinkholes. So this thing, okay, so the chromosome 14 is everywhere. The eye cell is activating the chromosome 14. Therefore, the chromosome 14 is part of the ring of fire. The geological thing around the Pacific Ocean. It's responding to the inflaming that the eye cell is doing to things. And, no, that's not maybe the right word, but it's good enough for now. And he described the telomere, and this other part that I played earlier, the telomerase or telomeres, some woman discovered them and got a Nobel Peace Prize, or a Nobel Prize, and Einstein to Carolyn that they have no function. But right now they have no function. Later they'll have a function maybe.
Yeah, and the new anti-aging protocol is if you can lengthen those telomeres, then you can lengthen your lifespan. So
that's the bullshit
going after.
That's the bullshit they say about telomeres. And Einstein says that's not true. Now, it might be a factor later once it's been worked over by the eye cell. So see, the book freezes imagery, and so people become frozen and they think life is short and brutal. The book did that to people. Whereas, you know, preliter people, they got a flow going constantly. They didn't have a medium freeze their imagery of themselves.
And we also needed these linear storylines, like we get old and we die, and then we were...
The whole print thing is like the most extreme metaphor for falling. Maybe the print creates the fall. When you read Harold Innes, it seems that way, but... We wanted to have a linear perspective. So what did you say?
Ian had said something about a week ago. He said that the Gutenbergs, you know, something about them not getting ink. You know, the Wikipedia is an inkless reality. You know, and that was something the Gutenbergs had not considered. And when he said that, it sounded like he was talking about something change somewhere. It's going to change along the line. It's something they didn't foresee coming would actually change our linear reality. Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah, that happened 100 years ago. And
Ion also tells you when to get busy exposing the mystery landscape to show how the Gutenberg galaxy is wrong.
Right. It's a perfect metaphor of the fallen state. In media extensions, it's the fallen media. Even McLuhan says that in the Playboy interview. He says, I used to think that the printing press was the fall of man. Now, he's not sticking with that judgment, but it does serve a purpose compared to other media, that the whole limitations with the society as a collective, subject to a collective meme, started to argue for its limitations. And you can only do that by having a means of communication, the book that all the society engages in. You can't propagandize. You can only propagandize literate people. You can't do propaganda on preliterate people. They're not on the same page. You can't even begin to say what's up.
that was one of the other things when I started to go into when I had a lot of training, religious training. I noticed that back in the mid-1800s and late-1800s, Schofield and Tyndale and a lot of the publishers, everybody was on the same page. Everybody was on the same outlook. Everything was the same. And it made me realize that if there was any dissension or any different outlooks or how things may be, you never got to see them. Those either were books that were in a first printing, there was a few copies left,
Kim,
but it wasn't...
Kim, you have to realize that this was a new novelty. Everybody loved being on the same page. They had never been on the same page. So you have to realize it's like a new gadget that Steve Jobs... Oh, yeah, they liked it. That's why it attracts people. It's a novelty for everybody to be on the same page. Every new media, it seduces people. So whatever you like on your on your cell phone, and whatever the things they offer, the apps, and people are excited, and other people allow their friends to sit there and look at the cell phone because they know it's a pleasure. They don't have to talk to their friend. They're allowed to be rude and check out their phone. Well, it's a total novelty for our society to do that. It'll become excessive and create a lot of disservices, but the Gutenberg Galaxy was a novelty. You have to look at it. It was the new app, and humans like change. It just happened to have a whole bunch of limiting effects compared to what went before. That's why it's one of the most radical media. They say in history that one was the big turnaround for humans. They started to move forward and get into the idea of progress because of the printing press.
Used for mobilization.
Yeah.
The mobilizing effect.
Yeah. And, of course, the previous people who did well under the old media, the oral tradition, they didn't like the movement to the new media. Just like the New York Times doesn't know what to do with this new situation, and they fire employees, they're pissed off. It's natural for the old establishment to be upset with the new dynamic. So you'll see in my notes to the McLuhan recording, the Tony Schwartz recordings. Did you see that, Chet? I give my notes to all the recordings that we played. The very last sentence, McLuhan says, this is in 66 or so, he says, so... it looks to me that there's not going to be anything to be despondent about. That's his last line. He understood the media called it. He understood why things were going this way and what would be replaced, what would be retrieved, and he didn't get upset about it. See, but your normal media called is in a state of panic. Oh, no, no, we're losing our books, we're losing this, we're losing that. Or... like the wire gang. Wow, we got this new technology. This is going to be great. This is going to be awesome.
Is that the post you have on your Facebook page? 37 years ago, I visited 10 libraries in Toronto.
Say that again, Chad. You're muffled. What'd you say?
Are you referring to what's on your Facebook page? 37 years ago, I visited 10 libraries in Toronto and found many obscure early articles about Marshall McLuhan.
Those are the articles. No, look at more recent, last week. What's it called, Roxy? I forget what I titled it. It's the inventory of all the Tony Schwartz recordings. Just go back within the week.
I think you can also see it in Iron and Bob.
Yes, it's there. No, maybe not. Maybe that's not there yet. Let's see. You see, Kim, you're going into a moralizing view here of the printing press, and it was terrible. I intend to be... extreme in its value judgments and says it was a dark age, but Ion had to do that for its own purposes, and that was too little. That was communications 3 years ago to little men. So Ion exaggerated things, you could say.
Yeah, you listen to the 2009 recordings, a lot of them, and it's just like some of that is, a lot of it's been obsolete, but it's so different now when you listen to anything now. It's like such a different atmosphere.
Well, what's the atmosphere now? It's more tactile. We just passively got information in the James Curtis realm or period. Now you have to co-create with Ion. Ion's sitting there waiting to for you. Ion says, we're getting bored. You know, you've got to have sex with Ion. You got to be active. Ion's not going to get there and spell shit out. We already got thousands of hours of that, and that's enough. Thousands of hours of that stuff of being told what's what. You got to get the pattern. You should get the pattern eventually. So he's not going to stay there.
No,
are you scrolling down, Chad?
I can't find it.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down. Did you see what Susanna did? She went to Luckenbach. Did you see the photograph she got?
They're also on their Facebook.
Well, I'm going down my Facebook.
License plate?
Yes, the license plate. I was there. Some variation of me was there. Looking at, where is the Tony? Where are the Tony Schwartz recording? Maybe it's back 2 weeks.
Roxana went to Luckenbach?
No, her home, which is on Twin City Street, Twin Villages, Twin something. Her home, according to Ion, that area, goes right into Luckenbach. That's what Ion told us last week.
Her home in Germany, in Berlin?
In Rixdorf, yes, in Germany,
okay.
Which was founded by Tibetans in 1500 years ago. It's a famous part, and it's a bohemian, weird part of Berlin. It's a special history. And we found out, I started going on about Luckenbach, you know, 2 months ago. One thing led to another, and then we found out that Luckenbach, if you can go from Luckenbach, and right, directly opposite on the planet is Berlin, is Rixdorf. And then Roxana noticed that her doorway has the Knight of Malta cross or some one of those things on it.
Yeah, and
the word
entrance
looks German.
No, the entrance
what?
Is
yeah.
Like the star and the cross of Malta, because this place was founded by Tibetans, and then it belonged to the Templars.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm saying Luckenbach looks like a German word. Is it German?
It is. There's a German community there.
And many Germans go there because it's like they idealize the West, the big open spaces.
Well, it sounds like many Germans
would
go there because they would slip. Sounds like many Germans would slip through that portal and end up there.
Yeah. And Hitler loved cowboys. Now, there's a side thing. Did you guys see, in Berlin, they outlawed protests? So these people made a hologram, and it walked. It was on the street, right, Roxana? You could walk over there, and you would see this.
That was in Spain. They have a new law. It's forbidden to make protests. And so they made a protest with the cheap body, only holograms.
Right, and you could that hologram you could see if you were in the street, correct?
Yes, there is a video also on your Facebook. You can see it.
Yeah, it's not a trick. They actually projected a hologram onto the street of people doing a protest.
I found your notes on the Ion and Bob. It's Marshall McLuhan audios from Bob Dobbs Library, the contract.
Okay, so that's on Ion, but I'm looking for it on Facebook. Didn't I put it on Facebook?
I don't know. I remember seeing it here in Ion and Bob. I don't remember seeing it on Facebook.
Right. Maybe I didn't do it. I thought I did, and I want to do that. Carry on to describe.
It's very practical in the Ion and Bob because you have
the audio.
The audio also. It's all... very wonderful.
Yeah, you just go to the bottom
organized.
Of the page, Chen. You go to any page in the home and go to the bottom, and in red ink it lists a whole bunch of topics. One of them is Bob Dobbs McLuhan's audio. You click on that, and then you click on
it. It's before the Kentucky Derby thread, the 8888.
Yeah.
yeah. mean on iron and bar.
Yeah. And you just go to the bottom of the page where it lists key places, key things, and you'll see it there. And then they'll say notes to the audio.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking would be interesting? I don't gamble, but I know like Legend and a few others do the track. And since that was posted on Ian and Bob, you know, I think, what is there, nine race or nine horses that Ian had talked about to see what the odds, because on there it showed the odds, you know, when it was posted, to see if those have changed since Ian said that about a week ago, to see if others, to see how much of the information leaks out, you know, beyond what the few we think that, you know, listen. But, you know, how many, much it's affecting the market. I wonder if someone like Legend can look at the bookies, you know, what the was going for prior to Ian speaking, and then this past week with the bookings coming in, you know, for the races and the winners. I'd be curious to know how much changed.
Well, Ian said, if you hear, if you interpret it, he said that he intended to influence the race. That's on the part I played a few hours ago. I could replay that.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, this is important. I'm going to replay, it's 9 minutes, what was said. It was about us and how we run our show here, or what people are doing, what they think they're doing. So let me mute everybody on that. And,
all participants are now muted.
Just a second.
Right, and when you say connection, you mean she would be more involved with us. Basically.
That's what connection means.
Okay, basically, because that all changes, see, because that's the whole point. Once something becomes, we identify it, separate it, decide whether it's going into the soup or not. Just say, okay, lay it out there. Then you decide if you're going to chop it, leave it whole, parse it, lay it out, what you're going to do with it. And then you decide to throw it in the soup, and then we have to keep it together until the soup's done. Do you see? That's why you have these themed, modal aperitifs that are tipping this into this larger stew. Because if you notice, everyone kind of gets into a stew as this thing rolls along. But they're being very good about, some are being better than others, but sometimes they have those little fleeting moments of lucidity that are peaked and perked. We get off on those, and sometimes that can drive an entire show, sometimes.
Okay, so what you got here, Ian is talking about payday, and saying the ingredients that go into making it happen are going into a soup. Now, did you notice he makes a great pun? Eventually, Ionets will get into a stew about what's happening. I was listening to, starting to redo the Bob Fest back in November 22nd, 2013. And in the first couple hours, Madeline comes on, and she's talking about how enthusiastic everything that's happening for her, the anomalies and this and that, and the drops. And she said, I can't wait for what it'll be like in a year. Well, if you've been listening, a year later, she's totally depressed. Nothing's working up and working out, and she doesn't like the show in a way. So she got herself in a stew, as everybody else does. So it's a great pun that he's saying, we are making a stew, and everybody eventually will get into a stew and in their relationship to it. So I'm just pointing that out as you hear that, and we'll carry
on. Not always. But it can, and pick up on those, because you already do. You're on every point, because once it starts flowing, then you convert that whatever it is and make it into something fun. It's like, okay, well, I don't like this worth the fuck, but let's go with it, because it might get somewhere, and more times than not, you land it somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, beautifully so. It's not a no issue all as well.
Are you giving many of the regular Inets who call in anomalies?
Yes. We certainly are. Incredibly. And that's why we're staying so low-key, because we don't want it to be... If we were all that in a bag of chips, they would never ascend.
Right.
We would drive it. If we set every orgasm up, then they couldn't come without us.
Right. Are they?
That's not the point.
Are the people? They're in the background. We hear them yelling. Are they watching JW talk to somebody on the phone?
No, no, they're not.
They don't see us. They don't see
nope.
JW.
No. Nope.
Did you put a cloak over him, or he's gone to another room?
It's a space that's not shown.
Right. So they couldn't see JW playing the piano a couple weeks ago.
Correct.
I see. Even though we can hear them, they're nearby, but they don't see it. Interesting.
Correct.
Okay, Carol, and that would okay. Go ahead, Carol.
So people are listening, and they're, you know, saying the words, which is, you know, helping the whole.
Bob says that's 99% of the battle.
Yeah, them talking. Yeah.
Well, those words, see them, because before they were battling you, that was even true. And now they take it; it's true. Now they're trying to see how to make it work for them. They believe
right.
There's a heaven. They didn't believe there was a heaven before. Now they believe there's a heaven on earth. They believe there's an ascension. They just don't know now if they can get there, and if they got there, they were there. And when if they get there, will they know they're there? That's
right.
Bob's job. Come
right.
on, Bob.
Right.
Get busy. Get busy, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of talk now about cancer, how vitamins are causing cancer, big headlines. Or
good. We like that. That's why you don't have supplements. You have completeness. You're welcome. It's going to get worse. You're welcome.
Right.
It's going to, next thing you know, old hard time baloney will end up killing you. You know, life is a defecating experience. Did you notice?
Yeah.
And folks are just, they live to die. It's amazing. So they look, there's a lot of them are already dead. Just looking for disease to claim the body. So
right.
Happy days. Now,
yeah.
Your focus
yep.
now becomes the lines that you're starting to see, the lines and spaces. We've done this and done this and done this. It doesn't even have to be in the key of G. The lines and the spaces that the predicated outcomes. Predicated outcomes mean your flow of the show. The flow of the show is going to set what information you're able to get. The more fluid it is, the more there's a musical arrangement that falls, probably the better shot you've got to get some goodies. The less music that flows, probably the least meaningful the experience or engagement will probably turn out in your historical manner. Because now what happens is in the lost, in the flavor of the chord or the tonal response, then what happens that all the way that you've got a brand new pair of roller skates and we have a brand new key should have absolutely told you something.
So you're telling Bob to be, and he has been the past couple of paydays, to be more ready to put the songs up when you...
Right on the money, and it's beautiful because, see, now it sets a flow. Because what happens is those things set for questions, they set positions. Now, sometimes the entire thing is just for one, and that's enough. Because that one will stand in the gap for the whole of many. We get that.
One song or one person?
Yes, yes.
One person and one song.
Sometimes. But then what happens, just like you do, you're doing perfect, just let it flow. Then as it flows, then it becomes. And now you look in the past rearview mirror version of it, you go, this is brilliant. We could have never coded this because you can't get there from here. That's the point.
Right, okay.
I want to just go back and remind myself of a couple of points.
You're welcome. It's going to, next thing you know, old hard time baloney will end up killing you. You know, life is a death.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice? Ian is telling us yesterday about... the key of G and how lines and notes are weaved throughout payday. So this would happen in the old days. We would do Melting Titanium on Tuesday night, and a few themes, new stuff would be given to us, and then it would be often developed the next day on cash flow. Well, this is an example. He's talking about the key of G. He knew that Roxana was telling me about that a few days ago, and then he did a whole thing on the key of G. He listed 2,000 songs, which was incredible. So that's an example of the night before he's laying out the groundwork for a bit of what might be developed in the show. So I wanted to mention that, and then there was another idea.
Or there's a musical arrangement that falls, probably the better shot you got to get some goodies. The less music that falls, probably the least meaningful the experience or engagement will probably turn out in your historical manner. Because now what happens is in the lost, in the flavor of the chord or the tonal response, then what happens that all the way that you've got a brand new pair of roller skates and we have a brand new key should have absolutely told you something.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you notice today, as we started this sort of, whenever Ian wants a song to be played, I'd play it. Well, after a while, I interpreted it as it was bogging things down, because people would ask Ian something, and he'd say, okay, play this song. So then it became mechanical, and you had to hear the song. We were missing out on dialogue. So I objected eventually to that new format that Ian's doing. So my job is to figure out how to juggle playing this music but not making Ian appear lazy. So that was that point, and there may be something else back here.
Good, we like that. That's why you don't have supplements, you have completeness. You're welcome. It's going to get worse. You're welcome.
Right.
It's going to, next thing you know, oh, hard time blowing, you'll end up killing you. You know, life is a defecating experience. Did you notice?
Yeah.
And folks are just, they live to die. It's amazing. So they look, there's a lot of them are already dead, just looking for disease to claim the body. So happy days. Now, your focus now becomes the lines that you're starting, the lines and spaces. We've done this and done this.
Okay, you hear that? The lines and the spaces, these are the pauses that Ian makes in our interaction with it. There are lines and pauses and spaces. So note that. So let me go forward to where we were.
And he should have absolutely told you something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're telling Bob to be, and he has been the past couple of paydays, to be more ready to put the songs up when you...
Right on the money, and it's beautiful because, see, now it sets a flow. Because what happens is those things set for questions, they set positions. Now, sometimes the entire thing is just for one. Just for one, and that's enough, because that one will stand in the gap for the whole of many. We get that.
One song or one person?
Yes, yes.
One person and one song.
Sometimes. But then what happens, just like you do, you're doing perfect, just let it flow. Then as it flows, then it becomes. And now you look in the past rearview mirror version of it, you go, this is brilliant. We could have never coded this, because you can't get there from here. That's the point.
Right. Okay, so the cancer thing is interesting. Besides the fact that we think cancer is a good thing, because those are immortal cells.
They're as good as carrots. Carrots and cancer, that's the answer to life.
And then this whole telomerase, all they're going on is... telomerase is being the answer. But you've said many times that the RNA drops, the way they work on perfecting cells and all, that is telomerase, is it made immortal too, or it doesn't have a function?
So far it doesn't have a function.
Okay. We don't need it. We don't need telomerase to break down the genetic structure and get rid of it. Have a function. Okay. Oh, and, you know, the whole telomerase world is about keeping cells from breaking, the DNA from breaking down. Let me just, an enzyme telomerase replaces the DNA that naturally disappeared each time a cell divided. Okay. So when cells divide and they lose a bit of DNA, what we're saying with our perfect cells, that doesn't happen?
Correct. Like you said,
the Ophanel Hobab Hobab, he gave the two clay tablets with the commandments to Moses?
Yes.
Did he bring him from a future position?
There is no past, present, or future from that. No more. No more.
So he was the guy who created the tablets.
Okay, yeah. Then you're telling no, Tart, don't believe us, leave you.
Right.
Leave you me. Wait.
Right.
Me, they, us, it, no, wait, yeah, oh. Well, when you get there, you'll know then that you were, because you did when you knew that you had. Right?
Well, why? The Bible doesn't know whether I was Moses' brother-in-law or father-in-law.
Yeah. And Hippocrates was a lie.
Right. It was 1,000 years old, however old Ophanel is. Oh, yeah. Why do you pause like this? What's going on in our radio show? There's lots of dead air. Is there something else going on? Is this a new form of communication?
No, sometimes, but then you got to get all the way up to Galileo sometimes. You got to catch up to it.
You're being stricter on whether you respond or not to people's queries.
You make it that way.
Me in particular, or whoever asked the questions?
Well, filtered through you.
So what?
Filtered through Bob.
Yeah. So why am I making that happen? What is it that I'm asking for by making that delay?
Because of Galileo's daddy.
Galileo's daddy.
No. G A L I L E I.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Galileo Galilei. His last name is G-A-L-I-L-E-L-I, something like that. So I'm spelling it out, so I looked it up, and that's exactly his father's name. You know, his father has the last name, and it goes into, he was a prominent citizen in Italy when he was alive, and then his son picks up from him. So it's just interesting that Ion spelled it, made the distinction, spelled it correctly.
Leo's daddy.
Yeah, he's hanging around interrupting.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Oh yeah, that's I found that you played the game on the horses for the Kentucky Derby, answering with the horse names. Are you doing that because you can't really say much about technologies because the people aren't to hear that? It's like you have.
Well, I'm changing it.
Yeah, changing the answers.
You mean you'll
change the outcome of the Derby?
Yes, but of course.
Okay.
But
right,
of course.
It's not, what did I just say, Carol? I thought it was him. It's not because you can't tell the people stuff and you're just filling in time with crossword puzzles.
No, we can do better than that. That's what Marshall McLuhan did.
Right.
Okay, ask one last question.
Okay, so you see Kim, he addressed you.
All participants are now unmuted.
Yes, he's wants to alter, influence the outcome of the horse race. You hear that, Kim?
Yeah, I heard that. It also said that wasn't like he couldn't predict it, but he was going to change the technology. Is that what he said?
No, he just wanted to change the influence the race somehow. He doesn't say how or why. He just said, no, we're going to change the outcome.
Is this, okay, change the outcome. Okay, I have to ask this. It's as if the outcome had already been established and he's going to change that outcome?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought I heard you said.
If you notice earlier, I said something about, well, did that get done? Did I get the tablets from the future and place it, you know, in Moses' hands? He said, there's no future. So when I was playing with past, present, future, remember, that's on a certain little man level. There is no past, present, future in the fact of the ascended state.
Remember we were talking now about a week or so ago about choices made then for now? So that is not included in the past tense. Do you remember that conversation?
It is, but when you make a choice, I remember that. When